Turning to news on the nation's education system, the battle over education policy is heating up across the country as the Trump administration pushes forward with sweeping changes, drawing legal challenges and nationwide concern. From defunding diversity initiatives to leadership shakeups at key federal agencies, the administration's actions are already reshaping the educational landscape. Educators and civil rights groups are fighting back against new federal directives that threaten funding for schools with diversity, equity, and inclusion, also known as DEI, programs. The American Federation of Teachers and the American Sociological Association have filed a lawsuit to block an anti-DEI policy recently reinforced by the U.S. Department of Education. The move has left California schools scrambling to determine how to comply without losing federal dollars. Suzanne Potter brings you this report.
The American Federation of Teachers and the American Sociological Association are suing the Trump administration over a threat of funding cuts and investigations of schools that integrate diversity, equity, and inclusion into their policies or lessons. The letter schools received purports to reinforce anti-discrimination laws, but casts efforts to hire or help disadvantaged people of color as a form of discrimination. Roderick Castro, assistant superintendent of Santa Rosa City Schools, notes the letter criticizes using race as a factor in hiring and training.
A letter like this is basically giving them a directive to abandon those. That cuts us off at the knees. We're looking for educators to be more representative of the students that are in the classroom. It's a blow, more of a gut punch to us.
The letter is critical of courses that involve certain racial groups. Castro says ethnic studies classes rightly lift up students' cultural heritage, and he thinks teachers and students should be free to examine the facts about topics like slavery or civil rights. Schools were given until last Friday to comply with the Trump administration's anti-DEI directive, and many colleges are pulling back, even reevaluating campus groups like the Black Student Union. Dr. Chuck Flores teaches social justice and educational leadership at Cal State LA.
We have to provide an open forum for all people of all races to discuss what it is that we need to achieve as a country. Eliminating DEI doesn't go in that direction. I just feel that we're going down a dark hole we're not going to be able to pull out of if people don't wake up and start taking a stand for what's right.
The letter from the Department of Education also says diversity and social justice are not valid reasons to take race or a proxy for race into account for admissions and financial aid. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Meanwhile, a new report from PEN America shows a troubling trend. The majority of last year's school book bans targeted texts featuring people of color and LGBTQ+ narratives. Critics argue that the administration's policies are emboldening censorship and restricting students' access to diverse perspectives. At the federal level, the National Center for Education Statistics, an agency responsible for collecting and analyzing education data, is now facing leadership upheaval. Trump recently suspended Commissioner Peggy Carr, raising concerns about political interference in educational research. KPFA's Christina Onnestad has more.
President Trump suspended the head of the nation's report card, which administers the most extensive academic testing programs in the country. He placed Peggy Carr on administrative leave. Carr was appointed by former President Biden to be commissioner of the National Center for Education Statistics in 2021. Previously, she had been a career employee for more than two decades. The NCES collects and reports data on many different elements of education, but is best known for the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the gold standard in assessments of student achievement. The latest data from the NAEP test released last month showed U.S. 4th and 8th graders in 2024 performing below pre-pandemic levels in reading and math.
And in another shakeup, Trump's pick to lead the Department of Education has been confirmed. A former professional wrestling executive now tasked with overseeing public education in the United States. Critics argue her lack of experience combined with the administration's push to eliminate the department altogether spells disaster for America's schools. KPFA's Christopher Martinez has the details.
President Donald Trump has said he wants his Secretary of Education to shut down the Federal Department of Education and put herself out of a job. On Monday, his nominee, Linda McMahon, got that job, with a party-line vote in the Senate.
The yeas are 51, the nays are 45. The nomination is confirmed.
McMahon is a billionaire former CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, a job she left in 2009 to enter politics, running two unsuccessful campaigns for Senate. As for education, she served on Connecticut's State Board of Education for a year, and she's a longtime trustee at Sacred Heart University. Democrats opposed her nomination in part because of her limited education leadership experience, but that did not seem to bother Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa.
I know that some people feel that the Secretary of Education should have extensive experience in a school system. However, it is important to remember that education is still mostly a state and local responsibility. There is no such thing as a federal superintendent of education.
Republican Senate Leader John Thune of South Dakota says the federal government is responsible for an outsized amount of education mandates that he says are holding back school districts.
And I look forward to working with Linda McMahon to limit bureaucracy, empower state and local governments, and let good teachers do what they're best at and what they love to do, and that's to help students succeed.
Democrats were solidly united in opposition to McMahon. Democrat Patty Murray of Washington says we need a Secretary of Education who puts students first, even if that means standing up to Trump and Elon Musk. And on that point, she says McMahon fails to make the grade.
Apparently, Ms. McMahon thinks, why should we have a Department of Education if Trump and Elon Musk can actually just tell schools what they can do and what they can teach? Well, let's be clear what it will mean if Trump, Musk, and McMahon have their way and try to turn the Department of Education into something that kids read about in our history books.
She says 26 million K-12 students in low-income neighborhoods could see teachers laid off and schools closed. Support for students with disabilities and Pell Grants and more could be upended by abolishing the Department of Education. Ms. McMahon, now confirmed by the Senate, Trump seems to have gotten what he wants for the Education Department, but there will still be struggles ahead.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk want to rip the heart out of public education in America and abolish the Department of Education. Well, not if I can help it.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
Meanwhile, on the North Coast, student activists at Cal Poly Humboldt say they are facing a crackdown on political dissent, with two students recently arrested on charges of felony conspiracy, vandalism, and unlawful use of a mask. Their supporters argue the charges are politically motivated, designed to intimidate student protesters in the wake of last year's Siemens Hall demonstrations. The arrests have gained attention following a statement from President Trump on social media this morning, threatening to cut all federal funding to universities that allow what he calls illegal protests, and warning that students involved in such actions could face permanent expulsion or arrest. Ryan Hudson will be bringing us more on this developing story later this week. The consequences of immigration enforcement policies on children are also coming under increased scrutiny. Fear of impending immigration raids is causing widespread stress for millions of kids in California, with around 1 million children in the state having at least one undocumented parent. Suzanne Potter has more on how children's advocacy groups are responding.
California is bracing for large-scale immigration raids, and groups that advocate for children are speaking out against the climate of fear. Recently, an 11-year-old girl in Texas committed suicide after allegedly being bullied about her family's immigration status. Myra Alvarez, president of the Children's Partnership, says the sense of dread that a parent might be deported is extremely stressful and can lead to physical illness.
That day-to-day worrying, that leads to a host of health issues. Everything from increased anxiety and depression to stomach aches to behaviors that aren't reflective of who they are.
Almost half of California's 9 million children have at least one immigrant parent. One in 10 has an undocumented parent, and one in 5 lives in a mixed-status family. California legislators passed Assembly Bill 699 to protect immigrant students, but schools cannot block Immigration and Customs Enforcement from coming on campus if they have a court order. The Trump administration has changed the rules to clear the way for immigration raids in sensitive locations like churches, hospitals, and schools, something Alvarez condemns.
Immigration enforcement actions shouldn't unnecessarily deter immigrants. Again, many of those immigrants are parents of U.S. citizen children from dropping their kids off at school, going to the doctor, going to church or other religious services.
Advocates are praising local efforts to inform people of their rights and help parents make a plan in case a family member is detained by ICE agents. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
This fear has become tragically real in Texas earlier this month, where 11-year-old Jocelyn Rojo Carranza died by suicide after being bullied by classmates who taunted her with threats of reporting her family to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The Gainesville Independent School District confirmed that Jocelyn had overheard these comments on the school bus, leaving her deeply distressed. Her death has sparked national outrage, with advocates pointing to it as a heartbreaking example of the consequences of anti-immigrant rhetoric in schools. The school district has since pledged to review its policies on bullying and student safety.